Thank you for subscribing. I'm Rob London. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? So as we celebrate the 541st anniversary of Henry VIII establishing the Beefeaters at the Tower of London in 1485, where are my two fatty, overdone and well past their sell-by date steak podcasters? Firstly, a man whose caveats are guarded more closely than the crown jewels, no doubt here to serve up another banquet of meaningless, carnivorous statistics. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he may not be a beef eater. He's more a bird's eye beef burger. Yes, frozen to the core and looking like he's just been plucked out of the Cordon Bleu freezer on Ryland Street in 1982. It's Dennis Waywell.
I thought you were going to say fucked out of the freezer because that's how I feel.
So we should say that Dennis is on his tour of Europe in a clockwise direction. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
And
that's
we find
correct.
Him. Find him pissed up in his camper van tonight, looking a bit worse for wear. I think after 12 hours of a wine tour, was it today you've done or something?
Yes, started at 10:30 this morning, and we got back at 6:30 this evening. How many bottles of wine can you get in a set of panniers? That is a good quiz question for any listeners today. God. I've got the answer.
Where are you, by the way?
A place I can't describe. It's near Colmar in France.
Right.
A very, in the Alsace, and it's a wine region. Ooh. And it's well known for cycling round to a lot of villages and vineyards that you sort of drink and you go. And that's what I've done today.
You've managed to do every one of them.
There's around about 1,700, but I did have a good go.
Did the battery keep going on the bike to get you round?
Oh, God. Mrs. Waywell had problems with battery anxiety when we got across that one hill. She said, I've only got 20% left. So keep going. There's another 320 vineyards to go.
Oh,
so we made it in the end.
How much have you got left tonight? Are you going to make it to the end of the pod? What would you say your battery's on?
No, I've got no fucking idea of what's going on. We're talking about two games that I may have caught up on and I can't quite remember. So I think we should get on with it. And hopefully you can provide, we've done this before, actually. I think season three, you two have described the game to me. Let's work in the podcast that I've not seen anything. You're going to describe it to me because I've got no idea.
It's hard to know, Sam, whether Dennis's signal's breaking up or he's breaking up. It's hard to.
I think there's a bit of 50-50 that, isn't it?
How are you, Sam? You're looking very sprightly there, sir.
Yes, I'm feeling very good after 2 days not drinking.
Oh,
so there you go.
Yin and yang of the podcast. Have been up to anything special?
Recovering from my mad dash over to
drinking 20 days on the trot, and now you'd have 2 days off.
No, we went back there and back in 4 days. That's a long way to drive.
Right. Got the keys to the door now?
That 30th of September.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Excellent. Oh, we'll be able to go over before the grand final. So that's good. That's good. I'm a little bit down, if I'm honest. A little bit down.
Go on, Mr. London. Yeah. What have you been doing? Why are you down? You've got a lovely bright shirt on.
I'm trying to cheer myself up. I feel like I'm living in the shadows of my partner, Mrs. London. I feel like I'm the Dennis Thatcher or the David Furnish. I think I've sort of taken on that role. I may have sent you.
Have you only just realised that after however many 12, 15 years?
Exactly. She was on Australian television. She was on the equivalent. She was a guest on the equivalent of Saturday Kitchen. You know, that I think I sent you some pictures. What I didn't realise was at the time is it's actually choreographed. I didn't know this. So I said, what was the food like? And she said, well, it's interesting how they do it. So she wasn't allowed to eat during the ad break. Okay. And then as they come back from the ad break, she had to put a prawn in her mouth and chew on it as the guy was asking her a question.
Have you asked her to do this? Or is this something on the TV station?
Because so then he asked her the question, and by the time he's finished asking the question, Mrs. London was supposed to have finished her prawn, but she was still chewing on it. So she had to go she had to go to the other person who was on.
That's what she said.
I feel a bit like Cynthia Lennon. Do you remember in when she was left behind at the train station? The Beatles were boarding at Euston. I think they were going to Wales, and the policeman held her back, and she knew at that moment she'd lost John. And I feel a bit like that. So need you boys to.
Sorry, am I on the rugby league podcast tonight, or am I on the other podcast that we do?
Two worlds are not going to collide. That's what she said to me. I'm completely away from it now. So, yeah, that's good, isn't it? I mentioned Worlds Apart there, which I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, of the old Legends days, is a song by the Inspiral Carpets. And haven't you been hanging out with Clint Boone in Amsterdam? Did I see you with Clint Boone?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, we were in Amsterdam. Oh, can I just say that we had to leave Amsterdam early? This was a big problem. Mrs. Waywell showed a bit of interest in some tequila, as she knew the name for, and said to the guy, oh, it's got a bell on the bottle, so can I have a go with the bell? And she had a go with the bell, and I took a picture. And then he said, you want a drink of it? He said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She just said, yeah, 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 we'll have two drinks of it. We got the bill. It was €49 each per shot. So that was like 100 euros for just two shots of tequila. Yeah, yeah, so we had to leave Amsterdam a day early because we couldn't afford to stay there any longer.
You've blown the budget. Okay, well, I guess if you head sort of west from Amsterdam, we come on to Hull, don't we? Which is the first game we need to review. So we'll start there.
Very good. That's a link, isn't it? That's the type of thing that Mrs. Lundy will be using when she's on proper telly again.
The team was Thulis, Hopewarty, Lindop, King, Ashton, Williams, Hayes, Byrne, Walker, Harrison, Bentley, Stone and Curry. Interchange bench was Powell, Wood, Philbin Thomas and Crowther, who was used as the 18th man. So with concussions leading to a few wire players being away with the Pixies, could Warrington still find a way to win? Here's the highlights.
High kick. They might let Warrington have this. That came off a whole play and it's dropped and there they're going to pick it up and they're going to score. Well, for all the play we've had, it's an error that leads to the opening try. Try the strip and spin it. Yeah. Get him up a lap. Hayes was hit as he kicked it, but a fair challenge. Ball batted back and there's a chance here for Ashton and he's going to slide over and score. Ball fires wide to Williams. Short of space, tried to get it to Thewlis. Thewlis reaches out and scores! Bentley doesn't make the tackle. Here's Briscoe! Briscoe going for the line, ducks it back. It's play on, it's still play on. They are going to score! They're over! Caesar, ball back on the angle, there goes Briscoe! He's signing up in style here in the end game!
Final score, all 14, Warrington 16. There were tries for Hayes, Ashton and Thulis. Conversions, Williams kicked one from three. He also kicked a penalty. Referee was Felicity Kendall. The attendance was 12,255. Absolutely no recollection whatsoever of this game. So I'm going to leave this completely to Dennis.
Jesus. Hang on. We started this podcast and we said that you two were going to describe what happened because I've not a clue. I think I watched this in a car park in Ghent or I was in Amsterdam. Yes. I can't really remember, but I did watch it.
Did you watch it with Clint Boone?
Yeah, just watched it with Clint Boone. I'm not sure if it was Clint Boone. I watched him walk away, and he didn't really have a swagger. It was almost like of an old 50-year-old sort of like, merging into the crowd. But that can't be Clint Boone. I think it might have been Clint Boone, but I'm not really sure if it was Clint Boone. In terms of the match, Sam, how did it go? If you could just describe it to me in the first half.
Okay, well, I had driven almost 600 kilometres. I'd got up to Montrelsan from there, and I was
Is this a big caveat?
sitting with a bottle of red wine in what can be described as a posh conservatory, while the sunshine and showers whipped past, watching it on my phone and pretending to listen to Mrs. Sankey while I was watching
Oh,
this.
dear.
We were 12-2 up at half time, and
Were we?
yes, we were 12-2 up at half time. It had been a really wet start and quite an attritional game. And
Oh, yes.
we yes, and then a couple of kicks to the
Yes.
corner bounced our way, and we went ahead. And we went then just after half time 16-2, when Thewlis wriggled out of about three
Oh,
tacklers.
that's
And
right. Yes, it's all coming back to me now. Yeah.
yes, yeah. So at 16-2, Mrs. Sankey said, "Are you actually going to put that phone away? It's very rude, you know." And I said,
It is
"Well, they're
very
probably
rude.
going
It
to
is
win
very
easy
rude.
now." It is. I said, "They'll win easy now. So put my phone away." At 16-2, 15, maybe even 20 minutes later, I just said, "I'll just see whether it's finished yet." And bugger me, to use a phrase, when it was 16-14 and we were clinging on right at the end. So that was my entire look at the. I feel like, although I have
You didn't
watched
put enough
some of it
effort
back. No,
in.
I have watched some of it back, and obviously we conceded two fairly quick tries,
Who are we playing
and I
here?
think
Bradford.
maybe Hull.
Oh, right.
Hull. We conceded two fairly quick tries, and suddenly I think the weeks were starting to catch up with us in that last 10 or
Ah,
15
okay.
minutes.
I've only written one note. I have written a note for it. I'm not sure when I wrote this because I don't remember watching it. I've just written Hayes couldn't pass wind. That's all I've written. That's my only notes.
That's good. My note is I noticed that with it being wet weather, was this a really good performance for the grand final? There you go. So
Oh,
that's
well, the I think the big news really to come out of that, from what I can see, is it was around about the 60th minute when we lost both Philbin and Thomas. Philbin came off injured. Thomas replaced him, and I think either his first or second carry, he did his knee, didn't he?
And
So,
we lost Lindup on the first drive, didn't we, almost?
yes. Yeah, oh yes, of course. He got walloped, didn't he?
So then we had
Very
someone
early
did
on.
who did was it Bentley that went out into the centre? Well, I don't think it was Curry, was it? Did Bentley go out into the centre?
Well, whilst pretending to speak to Mrs. Sankey, I didn't quite work out the positional change and watching it on my phone.
I'll give you some stats if you like. It's a
Good
good stat
enough,
for
really.
you. The average gain, the person who led the table for Warrington with 14 metres per average gain was Sam Powell. Don't remember him breaking away downfield. Does anyone remember that? Don't remember that at all. He carried the
Yeah, I can't remember
ball. He
fuck
carried the
off.
ball twice for 28 metres. Did he take the kicking tee on or something? Did he run on with that? Were those meters counted? Top tackles was Harrison, 38. Stone also did 38. Curry again with a solid 34. Starting to feel that Curry feels this is his last hurrah. I think he's playing in a team and thinks this is possibly, is this my last year to win this thing? I don't know. I mean, he could be around next year as well, Sam, but I'm just feeling that he is. He's raised the bar this year. I think he's been our best
Yeah,
player to some
I
extent.
think consistently week after week he's there or thereabouts in a discussion of the best three players to
We
perform for us.
last year he got what Bevan Player of the Year, if I remember rightly. And he could be going back to back. So Dennis, you still awake there? You seem to be just falling, nodding off.
Yes, yep. Have you noticed there's a bit of a delay? I don't know how this is going to come across.
I think you're just the delay.
Am I the delay?
Don't think that's the signal.
Yeah, I suppose that's what Ben Curry might feel like going in for another extra year. But you know, the other thing I thought was is that overall it was a difficult sort of like game to manoeuvre against with Hull, wasn't it? But Hayes is coming off the back of a few games where, you know, we're going to mention Irwin. I'm sure that he's obviously may have a hairline fracture or something like that. That's just me speculating, by the way. But he's obviously got something a bit more serious than maybe a bruising. And Hayes has been stood in, and he's played actually quite well up until this point. I know I don't want to break the time continuum, but I thought he played all right. He scrambled for that and was like aware for that try and stuff. And I thought generally he was quite good up until like the end of this game. That's all I'm going to say.
Ashton, 239 meters. Right now, you said a couple of weeks ago, Sam, you thought that at any moment he could break away. And he frustrates me a bit. Like, you remember the show Sorry with Ronnie Corbett?
Yeah,
he was always going to leave his mother, wasn't he? And every episode,
I never quite.
I'm starting to feel I have to play the Sorry theme tune over Ashton's highlights because he's not just quite getting there.
Good sound tune. Good.
Someone keeps just grabbing his collar or something like that, don't they? He keeps threatening to break from deep.
I reckon the sorry theme tune, Dennis, if that had come out yesterday, we'd all be saying it's AI because it's got that kind of beat to it.
Oh yeah, it's like 80s Spectrum music, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that guy on the YouTube who I can't quite remember now. What's his name? Geo guy.
Geo Wizard.
Yeah. He has that 80s sort of music that he designs himself. Maybe we could do that. Are we coming back next year? Can I just clarify? Because my contract's up.
Let's hope we come back better than his channel's doing at the moment, because he's now reached the low bar of going for walks as far as he can, living off only money he finds on the floor. So, and the only place to find money on the floor now in Britain is outside drive-through McDonald's.
Because people drop it, so
he's just standing there picking up pennies.
That'll be it. After everyone's listened to this podcast, everyone will be stood around like McDonald's now in the drive-through in Warrington.
Well, he also went to Costa drive-through, but they've put a ledge in to catch all the money.
Oh, dear. Cheating bastards.
Bit like, you know, like you have to wash your money outside the Barley Mow before you go in during the plague. That hole's still in the wall outside the Barley Mow, isn't it? It's well, Costa's the modern day equivalent. So, are we done on that game? Can I move on? Anything else, Sam?
Do you want to move on? I mean, has anybody got anything else on Hull that they could tell me? Because, well, like, you know,
the one thing I have got on Hull
do.
Is that they did us on the post contact meters again, 3.92. They have got some big lads at Hull, Sam, but it's just not working for them. They get downfield all right, but they've got nothing in attack.
They've been similar for maybe 7 or 8 years, maybe even longer, maybe 10 years. Every season, you think, oh, on paper they look all right, and as a team, they're never the sum of the parts, are they?
The Myler effect, is that what?
Oh,
that
hopefully,
is?
Yeah.
Yes. Round 25 results. Wigan 46. Is this right? Hull KR 0.
That is exactly right. Yes.
Catalans 34. Huddersfield 30. Lee 18. St Helens 6. Went down to Leeds 34. Wakefield beat York 28-12. And Toulouse kept their good form up against Bradford 28-18. Wigan are on form, aren't they? I mean, they're just steamrolling everyone at the moment. They look like a different level.
Perhaps we'll come on to that after we've done the Wakefield game.
Okay, well, let's do the Wakefield game. The team for the Wakefield game was Thulis, Hopewarty, Smith, King, Ashton. Williams and Hayes continued in the halves. Harrison, Walker, Byrne in the front row. Bentley, Stone and Curry. Back in came Yates, Wood, Tanganoa and debut McClure.
I mean, it was quite interesting for the lead up of it, because I think Rob sent about three messages, for at least three, probably more like 30, saying, oh, I can't wait for the impact of Yates. There was a bit of irony in it, wasn't there? Oh, Jesus.
God, there's some editing going on here. So it was off to the Wildcats. Would it be even Stevens? Here's the highlights.
This is a lovely run. Toby King, he's found himself some space. He needs some help. He finds it in the shape of Walker. Walker could go all the way here. Can he get the ball down? That could be an incredible covering tackle from Tom Johnstone.
Try saver. Try saver from Tom Johnstone. But if you want to leave, take good
care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. I've got their tails up, and here comes Corey Hall. He finds Tom Johnstone. Johnstone going for the line, into the corner, zigzagging Tom Johnstone. And he gets the first try for Wakefield Trinity. It's hard to get by just upon a smile. Warrington regroup. Oh, and he was held up nicely there, Pulis. But Walker desperately gets it away. Hayes out to the right flank, looking for Smith. Going for the corner. Has he got it down? The visiting fans think he has, so too does the referee. A lot of what the world can do, and it's breaking my heart in two, because I never want to see you sad. Curry rolls it back, managing to find Walker. Williams again now, chipped to the corner, everyone chasing. Oh, brilliant finish! Matty Ashton flying into the corner. Finding Leno, quick ball off towards Vanganar! Isaiah Vanganar back in the side for Wakefield Trinity, smashes his way through the Warrington defence. It looked like they were half asleep. Always remember you, like a child girl. Down the left flank they go this time. Leno once more. Kaios Faiatili. Faiatili. Oh, juggling from Faiatili. Gets it away again. Caleb Hamling-Welly. Couple of metres short. Another offload. Smoothie goes out to the left flank for Vanganar again. Isaiah Vanganar with two tries in a matter of minutes for Wakefield Trinity. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. Curry gets it out for Williams. Williams could be that player that comes up with something special. It's a nice pass in towards Hayes again. Hayes over the top. It will come down to Hopewate. Albert Hopewate. Like a child girl. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. A player getting in the way, but the referee has said play on. This is a great run from Cameron Scott. What a game this is turning out to be! And I'll always remember you like a child
girl. See what I did there? See what I did there? Mm. It's good, wasn't it? That little,
yeah. Well, that little. You called the Yates bit out, did you?
No, I said to Mrs. London, I said, I need some narrative.
You're trying it on with
her
I again.
Need some narrative behind Wakefield Wildcats, and it was quite an even game. And I went, "Oh, I've got it, Cat Stevens, Wildcats, even Stevens." And then I got absolutely slated because apparently he's not been called Cat Stevens for like 30 years.
Yusuf Islam. Yusuf Islam, is he?
Yeah.
And to be fair, Wakefield have dropped the Wildcats about 10 years ago as well. They're Wakefield Trinity.
Have they?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Final score, Wakefield Wildcats, 25. Warrington, 18. There were tries for Smith, Ashton, Hopewate. Conversions, Hayes just kicked one from three. Penalties, Hayes also kicked two of those. Referee was the better of the Moors, Aaron, and attendance was 9,057. What have we had in what? Like Warrington Wolves. The academy, not the academy, the reserve team used to be called something else in the 80s. Can't think what they were called. Was it Warrington Wizards?
Oh, yes.
Was it the Wizards?
Yes. Yeah.
What was the basketball team? Vikings. Warrington Vikings?
Can't remember.
Played at Spectrum. Dennis?
Yeah, they were at Spectrum.
What are you asking me for? I thought you were gradually going to say, what were the Bowls team called, Dennis?
No, there was the one. I've been to that, where the Warrington basketball used to play, that converted into the... I saw Terry Griffiths play Doug Mountjoy at the Mercantile Credit.
Very
Mio missed the blue. I remember.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did, yeah. You know what's really disappointed me when I went back to Warrington, and I think someone should do something about it, is they removed all the Crown Green bowling at Walton.
Has it gone now completely?
Well, I remember walking around there and it's just like all overgrown and everything. It's so disappointing. Somebody should do something about that, Sam. I think you should get onto the local MP and get them reinstated, if you don't mind.
They were called, in the 1980s, Warrington basketball team was called the Warrington Vikings.
No,
they went on to become...
Before they moved to Widnes.
No, they went on to become Manchester United, didn't they? Manchester United bought the Warrington Vikings.
Here's a funny story for you. So I was in a bar. It was in Germany. I'll tell you not. There's two English ladies there, and she said, "Oh, what are you ordering?" And I said, "You're from England." And, like, we got a bit of a conversation. She went, "Oh yeah, whereabouts?" And I said, "Warrington." She went, "Oh, I'm from Widnes." And I went, "Oh, how unfortunate." And the other lady did laugh. So I thought that was quite good that I was on it there.
Who's that ex-footballer that's just been done? He's had to stay in prison. He's up on, is it, what's his
Joey
name?
Joey Barton.
He's living Joey in, Barton. He gave an address of Widnes. How's he ended up living in Widnes?
Well.
I think he was from Highton. Wasn't he from Highton originally?
Oh, was he?
Yeah. There's a prison there, is there? No.
Right, well, okay. Now, I've had a few little messages on this game because I thought they went all right. I didn't really think the game mattered. I think we are in third. We're not going to second. We're not going to fourth. We were only going to fourth if we possibly lost by 40 points and that goal difference starts coming into play. But from the way I see it, Sam, we were pretty much safe before kickoff, right?
Well, yeah, I realised the result didn't go our way, but I thought it was a really enjoyable game. There was some really good rugby on show. And at half time, first 40 minutes, 14-6 didn't flatter us, but sort of similar to the previous week against Hull, a 10-minute spell of really good Wakefield play. And we found ourselves behind. And the difference being that Wakefield are a better team than Hull. So it was almost as if, although they only scored 12 points, just like Hull did, it sort of mattered more that they got on top, particularly Vagana's lad. There's some genes in that family, aren't they? And he did burst through us.
What point did Vagana become Vangana?
I don't know. Is that like when Diplodocus became Diplodocus? Things like that. They just change, don't they? They just change and you don't know.
Oh, dear. Dennis, did you watch it?
Boadicea became Boudica.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying Sam just scrambling around about. So I did actually watch this.
Did you watch this one with Ian Brown? Who were you with this time?
No. I don't know where I was. Let me just think where I was. We were on the Rhine, I think. In Germany. Mm-hmm. So it was just after I spoke to the lady from Widnes. Well, yes, I did watch this. Again, I think after the Hull match, I thought, are we playing for like the possibility of finishing in the top two? Because, we got the Leeds Wigan match where one of them was going to lose. And obviously that didn't happen. This is where I depart from Leon Hayes being, great up until this point. I think there was a few fundamental issues that he didn't play very well, and I thought we played okay, but the big factor watching it all the way through, we didn't stop the offloads from Wakefield. Wakefield were offloading left, right, and centre, and like we just didn't handle it, and we just tired us out. And as much as they made the breaks, they weren't really that great You know, they messed up a few times, but those offloads just killed us.
Oh, that offload where we were just waiting for the referee to shout.
The referee to call held,
God, it was like a Moroccan tea party, that one. It was unbelievable.
Really? Oh, I might have to cut that.
A Moroccan tea party?
look it up, Sam, later. Well, that was, so Hayes again struggles to pass anything that's not formulated that he's done on the training pitch. He'd be very good like, if he joined the army or something and had to do drills or like maypole. You know, he had to do the maypole at school, running and out. He's very good.
We didn't do that north of the river, Rob. Can we just sort of put that out for the listeners?
Oh, right. Sorry. Just choreographed. He'd be good on Strictly, Sam, you know, because he can. He's good at practicing moves.
Are any of the professional dancers that short?
Have they had one of the crankies on? She been on?
Oh, you know what, you two? You're absolutely terrible. Why can't we just sort of pull him up for like trying to short kickoff and then it only went 5 meters?
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
The swingers, the crankies, aren't they? In their book. Oh, they're really into swinging.
Are they?
Yeah, massively. They're renowned for swinging, the crankies. So
you've been dying to get this in. Come on, tell us more about it.
I know nothing more. Just read their autobiography. They go on about it. They're absolutely, they're really into swinging. They're not hiding it. So
is this the only anecdote you've got? The crankies are into swinging.
I think when you look at Hayes.
Are we still talking about Hayes? Fuck's sake.
Yeah, just briefly.
Segue from crankies.
In a squad game, he's relatively cheap, and as a backup, he's all right, isn't he? You just don't want him as your first choice.
You just don't want him in the grand final.
No. But as a backup, I wonder if we were struggling at hooker, whether he'd get a spot on the bench.
He can tackle,
cover.
Right? He can tackle.
For his size, yes, of course.
But when
can.
You've got Powell making...
Yeah, but you know what? You're all being sort of soft here. You're all being soft here because, like, the obvious question is...
Let him go, Sam. He's pissed that he's going to fly off the
ankle. The obvious question is simply this. Well, you know,
he's now pointing at the screen aggressively.
Yes. Is Irwin not playing because he's injured, or is Hayes playing because he's in form? What's going on? Why aren't we having this conversation?
Irwin's got a hairline fracture or something, hasn't he?
Is that confirmed?
He's wearing.
Oh, has he got a hairline? Oh, that rumour's gone really well that I set up.
Well, I said, I mean, you said hairline fracture. I said that Chris Hill continued on for years with a receding hairline, but obviously they're two different things. So
yes.
Can't do anything.
Yeah, they were two different things, Rob, when we were talking about that.
I said he only played for about 10 or 15 minutes. What's your first impressions of McClure?
Was he in Back to the Future? Was that McClure? Was that McClure in Back to the Future? I think it was. Yeah, I liked him. He came across very, very well on the interview I saw of him, and he put on a big hit.
Yes.
Looks also to have a bit more size in some regards than Thomas. I don't know. Just seems to look like he might fill out a bit more. So, I thought he played very well. I mean, everyone keeps wanking on about this youth team, don't they? The youth team, you know, the second coming. So it's about time some of them appeared. So at the moment, I mean, they're still a bit off, right, Sam? That lot that sort of got to the final last year, the youth academy team, went on tour to Australia. Not many have come through yet, but they're all a bit young, right? They're all boys still.
Yeah, we're all looking at next year and the year after, I guess. But we've seen bits of them, haven't we, through the year, and you'd hope that you're going to get three or four of them to kick on to be long term first teamers.
Powell had quite a good had the better of the two half-time team talks in this game, because I think even the commentator mentioned it, that Warrington seemed to go to sleep after the second half started, whereas I think Wakefield scored two quick tries, didn't they?
They did, and that's where the game changed on its head, didn't it?
Well, who's that down to?
yeah, whoever gave the team talk. Can I point out a stat that I picked up as well?
You better add, yes.
Is it a Hayes stat?
No, it's not a Hayes stat, but it seems to be contradictory. Once again, we were well beaten on post-contact meters when you work the average.
Yeah, it was the biggest discrepancy of the year, I think. 3.11 compared to 2.54. It's our lowest of the year.
Yeah, so when you look at that, and we've seen this all year, and we've spoken all year about the lack of go forward in contact. And yet, average gain, Warrington Wolves sit second best average gain at 7.25 per play, behind only Wakefield at 7.3, but ahead of Wigan, ahead of Hull KR, ahead of Leeds. So I actually wonder if it's a different style of play rather than, I mean, obviously, if you hit the advantage line, you're going to keep your legs pumping. But I wonder if we've got just a different style of play, because we're clearly making the metres.
Yeah, we have got a different style of play. We scurry. We scurry from acting halfback. We have people like Ashton flying away. We have King coming in at centre. We scurry and we make lots and lots of metres. I've been watching rugby league for 50 years. It doesn't win you games of rugby league when it matters. What wins you games of rugby league when it matters is a big pack. It's simple rugby league. You have a big pack and then you entertain that big pack with a set of backs that score tries. And I'm not one to believe that you win games of rugby league by doing things different ways. You can do, and I know there's been areas of the NRL where teams have adapted. You know, we've got the grapple tackle on the floor that Melbourne had for so many years and all these kind of things. But ultimately, strip it all back. Go back to the days of Wilderspool or Halliwell Jones. What wins you a game of rugby league is when you watch the forwards run out of the tunnel and you go, oh, they've got a big set of forwards. Big sets of forwards win big games when it matters, especially in October when it's wet and miserable. And at Old Trafford this year, when they run out, that big set of forwards is going to be Wigan. And they're going to win it. Bradford 32, Castleford 22. Toulouse 44, Hull 30. Hull KR 36, Huddersfield 6. Lee 48, they're on form. St Helens 10. Catalans were pipped. York beat Catalans 16-28. And Leeds, tell me about this game. Leeds 8, Wigan 40. What happened?
So the game was relatively close up to half time, but you got the feeling the longer it went on, the more Leeds were clinging on to it. Right. And as the second half progressed, Wigan just were relentless. Wigan were relentless. Leeds could no longer live with them. And they just scored for fun in the last 20, 25 minutes. Did a real job on Leeds at Headingley. And it was, you know, when you talk about teams potentially coming on form at the right time, but they look good.
You were all Leeds, Dennis, at the start of the year. Is this a blessing in disguise for Leeds? Is this a time to reset? You know, better to have this result than in a grand final, right?
They've lost their star player, haven't they? Lachlan Miller, is it? The fullback.
Has he? I don't know,
he's done his hamstring. And I think, you know, they've lost Sivo. He was a top scorer. And Lachlan Miller is like the big one that's in the lead side. I think they're the team to play.
So the table looks like this. We've got Bradford in 14th, Huddersfield 13th, Hull 12th, Castleford 11th. Hats off to York, who are in 10th. Catalans 9th, Toulouse in 8th. St Helens sitting there in 7th, and then we have a top 6 of Hull KR on 32 points, Lee on 34 points, Wakefield on 36 points, Warrington on 38, Leeds on 40, and Wigan on 42. Warrington have a significant goal difference over Wakefield still of 37 points. So I think unless we lose very poorly to Toulouse, we are definitely third. The one that could possibly change is Hull KR and Lee. Hull KR sit 2 points behind Lee, but they do have a points difference of 269 compared to Lee's 120. So let's assume that Lee go to Wakefield, I think, this weekend.
Other way round. It's Lee at home. Lee at home. Yeah.
So if Lee beat Wakefield, Wakefield will finish fifth. Hull KR can't catch them. So it looks like we're going to play Hull KR at Halliwell Jones. 90% certain. I don't think Wakefield will win away at Lee. But if they do, we will play Lee at the Halliwell Jones. But then, as you said, Dennis, Leeds are then there for the taking. We'll finish third, which will give us an away fixture at Headingley against Leeds.
If we beat Hull KR, yes.
Right, okay. I think I did get a message sent to me. I think it was from Lee in Dubai, which... I did get one from Michelle Cartier as well, who summed everything up very nicely, but that seems to have deleted off the What Bevan group. So I can't see that one. But Lee did say this, Sam. Don't know what you think of what he's saying here. Where do I find it? He wrote to me and said, only five decent teams in the league and the other four have all beat us away from home because we're brain dead and lack leadership. Do we lack leadership? Have we got someone on the park guiding us around? Not sure we do.
No, I'm not. Can I caveat that and say, can we wait till later on in the recording to come back to that?
Oh, right.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Warrington Wolves Academy and the reserves reached their respective grand finals, a fantastic achievement for the club's development pathway. The Academy faced Wigan Academy in their final, unfortunately losing 36-16, while the reserves also take on Wigan reserves this weekend. Regardless of the outcomes, a huge pat on the back must go to Ryan O'Brien, Gary Chambers and everyone involved behind the scenes for guiding both sides to their finals for consecutive seasons. I think that's O'Brien, isn't it? Ryan O'Brien, I called him O'Brien. Very well done. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really positive. We mentioned maybe 10 minutes ago, we can see clearly there are some good players in the Warrington setup at that age group. Mm. It's whether they can take that next step from just being squad players at Super League level. Can they take that next step and be first teamers? And if they can become first teamers, can they be very good first teamers? It's that little progression now, isn't it?
Dennis, you were a very, you know, very good in your youth at rugby league. I mean, I'd probably say that you possibly were could have been the best prop in Warrington at a certain age. But then you just fell off a cliff. You got bashed on the nose once at Wolston Rovers and that was enough for you, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't my nose, although it does look like my nose when you look at me. It was my back. But yes. I think it's a tough game, isn't it?
What was you wrong with your back? That's the first I've heard
about
your back.
I've got a bad back. You're in about the first year about my back. You never got past my nose. That's trouble. I bloody had to go down and pack down. I was too tall to be packing down. I should have been bloody on the centre. That's where I should have been playing.
Jesus Christ almighty.
He could have been a Mal Meninga of Warrington, couldn't he?
Yeah. I got stiff-armed when I was bloody 17, playing in my steel-toed caps and my overalls with Rob. Oh, here we go. Saying goodbye to his mystery wife.
Do you still want your tea?
I don't know what time I'm going to be home. God, you're so needy.
Oh, yes, you see, there it is. So needy.
Did you hear
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Really?
Yeah, it came through. Yeah, yeah.
Just slammed the door. I really thought this fourth marriage was going to work out. I need to do something special in the next week or two to get her back on side. I think I'll work.
Yeah. I tell you what, why don't you take her to Old Trafford and watch the grand final?
Oh, talking of that, so are we all? I'm going to come back. Are we going to go to the grand final? Are we going to do that on the Saturday?
Well, regardless of whoever's there.
It'll be Leeds and Wigan, won't it?
Well, yeah, I think maybe that would be a good opportunity for us all to meet up. But I need to know in advance because I need to know where, and where can park my van or something.
Is anyone out there with free tickets to the Old Trafford game? Please get in touch. Touch with the podcast. Thank you.
Oh yeah, that would be good as well. Have we got any patron money left? Is there any?
The
Is there any patrons?
patron money's all gone. You drank that
Has
when you
it?
came out to see me last year at
Oh
Christmas.
right, okay. All right, okay.
You can park on my drive, Dennis.
7 meters, Sam. That's have you got
Yeah,
7 meters?
park on my drive. Yes, and you can do that.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness, I'd say.
On the Thursday before, my mum's got an eye appointment. Could any of you take her? Just to free me up a bit of time. That'd be. No, right, fair enough.
Yeah, we can manage that.
I think it's in Widnes. I'll get Joey Barton to come over. A pretty brutal injury update from Sam Burgess ahead of the playoffs. Luke Thompson, Thomas has ruptured his ACL for the second time in his career. This time it's the opposite knee, ruling him out for the rest of the season and a sizable chunk of 2027. Ewan Irwin's foot injury has now been confirmed as a small fracture, although the
Has
hope
it?
is that he and Joe Fielding will be
Ah, there
back for
you
the
go.
week one of the finals. I don't know. Maybe Dennis told me that. Maybe that's not true. I mean, I've just written that down from Dennis.
Oh, right. I see. Is the rumour come full circle? Excellent.
Geordie Crowther is managing a slight fracture in his collarbone, while Kai Taylor-Frey could return for Toulouse next week.
So was that all one sentence? I thought that was all one sentence then. That you went slight something collarbone fray. Was it all one thing?
Two things. It's two things. Tell me about Kai Taylor-Frey, Sam. What's happened? Has his confidence been knocked?
I don't know. He's been in the squad, hasn't he? On umpteen occasions and not played. It does seem like Webster has overtaken him in the pecking order. Just to finish off on Taylor Frey, if there was a good game for him to come back, surely it's this week against Toulouse, but we'll see. Some positive news out of Super League today. Apparently, 1,818,000 aggregate attendance, which is the best ever aggregate attendance over a league, and there's still a round to go, beating the previous best in 2012. So there'll be another 60,000 or so more this year. So,
Is that just because of the summer, Sam?
You've had a very good summer.
well, they've been playing summer for 20 odd years. Oh, you mean because it's been hot?
What were the stats like in 1976? Have a look at
Oh, yes.
1970, the summer of 76. That's what you need to compare it to.
Could you compare it to that?
I'll come back with that next week.
Are they having a clear out at Sky? What's going on at Sky? I see Terry O'Connor's gone.
Hooray!
And did you see the comments under? Oh my God, the poor guy! Like
No.
he's leaving, and there's like, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of comments on Facebook, and everyone's just writing, "Take a lot of the fucking cunt Wells with you."
Is that you saying that, Rob? Because
No,
I mean, you're a
just.
big fan of
It was hilarious
Gemma.
just to read it. Just everyone's a Wells hater. Does anyone like John Wells?
No, we don't like any of them. I mean, not that we don't like any of them. It's just not right for the job. When you listen to the Australian sort of commentators, and some of the British ones are good as well, but you spread thinly when you're trying to cover every match every week. And we just haven't got the commentators, have we? I think we should up the game.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear. We must part.
It's not just the Super League
Don't
season that's
let
coming to
this
a close,
parting
with several
upset
players
you.
about to bid farewell to Warrington and their time as members of the Wire squad. So with that in mind, I thought I'd summarise my feelings on the soon-to-be departed and what my main memories of them will be. Let's start with Captain George Williams, soon to join the Dolphins down under.
Don't
I think he's been a very strong servant to the club for the last 5.5 years and at times has been really underrated by the fan base. Since returning from injury this year, he has produced some of his best form in a Wire shirt, but my main memory of him will always be his golden point drop goal to win the playoff eliminator against St Helens in 2024. Moving on now to Toby King. It's almost hard to imagine a Wire squad without King in it, such has been his longevity. But that imagination became a reality in the second half of 2022 and 2023, as he was loaned out to Huddersfield and Wigan respectively, with his relationship with the club looking sour. However, since returning to Wire, I think he's been really good in the last 3 seasons, especially in yardage carries, and is always good value for a big try. My favourite memory of him? His Challenge Cup semi-final try against Hull FC in 2019 in torrential Bolton rain. Joining King in the capital will be Joe Philbin. It's fair to say I've not always been the biggest Philbin fan, but there can be no doubt about his length of service to the club. My best Philbin moment is linked to the King one, scoring the opening try at Wembley 19 as Wire overcame the odds to beat St Helens and win the Challenge Cup. Sam Powell has been something of an on-field coach in the Sam Burgess era, and while some fans have been critical of him in the last 2 seasons, I think the impact he brought in that first season in 2024 was tangible. We often remarked that we looked a more complete team with Powell on the field, and so my main memory of him is being such a consistent performer in that 2024 campaign. And now James Bentley, who will depart after a single season in our colours. I was sceptical to say the least when the move was made, but he has impressed me with his defensive intensity. In Nicholson and Ty, we have lost two of our most intense defenders in the last few years, and Bentley, when he has been disciplined, has filled some of that gap, I think. Definitely my favourite memory of him is his winning try against Catalans this year, a huge 2 points given the team we had out that night. And finally, Geordie Crowther. Signed just days after Darryl Powell's sacking as coach, he has been a steady player in 3 years that have followed. My abiding memory of the utility forward is the try he scored against Saints in the home win over them in 2024 after a Williams offload. That one was right in front of where I was sat.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Well, there you have it. We'll meet again. George Williams off to the Dolphins, am I right, Sam?
That's right, yes. Yes,
and
he is.
Playing with these lads yesterday, I was asking them about the NRL, which I know nothing about. They were their favourites to win it are the Dolphins. They think the Dolphins will win it.
Well, the Dolphins have been significantly improved this year.
And this is Wolf, right, who was at St Helens.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to fall a bit short this year, because Penrith really are still in, and Warriors have been outstanding as well this year. But Dolphins have been significantly improved, and they're making big strides there.
Right. Okay. Well, he will be missed. Will he get in the team? We'll wait and see over at the Dolphins.
So I said earlier, can we just leave my thoughts on leadership?
Oh, right. This is where you're bringing it around.
Okay. What we're going to play? What sort of music? We need to play some big music coming on now. Don't
play
really for his
Sorry life. From Ronnie Corbett. Is that what I put over this?
I don't think I'm going to say anything that we've not said before. For both Williams and, in a different way, Toby King. Both of them good players. Both of them will be hard to replace, particularly King with his metres. I think both of them, in my opinion, have suffered. Our opinion of them has been skewed because of the money they paid, if you know what I mean. So Williams, if we're paying top money for Williams, which we have, Williams is a good player for me. No problem with who he is, but for top money, I want that extra bit of leadership.
What you want? What do you want? Leadership. Right, okay.
Yeah, I want that extra. And it was very noticeable for me that the comment he made when Snead was signed was something like, I'm glad we've signed Snead.
Never let
he can
go,
lead the team around.
Fuck yeah.
and let me just play my game.
What about Roderick Tye? Did he have leadership skills? Bar the leadership, though, we are a different team with him on the field, aren't we? I mean, I think Dennis mentioned it on the last pod.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We are a far
he's
better.
Direct.
Dennis has fallen asleep.
He's direct and he's quick. He doesn't fall asleep.
I'm surprised you remembered. I'm surprised you remembered the last pod. But yeah, I think he's made a massive difference this year, getting Williams back. Seems to be, as Daniel said in his thing, back to his best at the moment. And what you want, and I like his comments, like we said the other week, you can't be a championship side. And then, what?
Can't take you seriously now you've moved into the rig. You honestly look like you're driving on the M62 like Peter Sutcliffe back and two every night. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Oh, Samuel, what a wonderful idea to bring the lads on a day out to Chadrow Bank.
Yes, Walpole, I thought if anybody could help us find signs of life in the cosmos, it'd be Britain's biggest radio telescope.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Sammy. There's far more chance of finding an intelligent life form out there in the far-flung corners of the universe than our recruitment department.
Apparently, Rolfo, this radio telescope can detect the most faintest of signal imaginable. It can bounce radio waves across the galaxies and pick up the most microscopic signal from billions of light years away.
Yes, although Leon Hayes stood 3 feet in front of it and it didn't even register a blip on the radar.
Oh! Just look at the size of that enormous dish.
Oh, sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the 76-metre fully steerable parabolic radio telescope designed to collect faint radio waves from distant stars, pulsars and quasars, or Professor Broomhead's 4020 lounge buffet plate?
The signals they're receiving, Lotho, off from millions and millions of years ago.
Oh, I saw about the same time Warrington last won the championship.
Apparently today, they're pointing the telescope towards Uranus.
Oh, tackle sacks. The last time somebody pointed something towards Uranus, Gina Brooker started charging on OnlyFans. Oh, and by the way, Samuel, Sam Sankey has drawn the line at us doing any black hole gags.
I know, that's the bloody caveat in Happy Clapper for you. Anyway, apparently black holes are so powerful, not even light can escape.
Well, it sounds exactly like the Halliwell Jones light show after the final whistle. Not even optimism gets out alive.
Did you know, Walter, the Andromeda Galaxy is heading towards us at over 100 kilometres per second?
Oh, yes. It is still slower than Fitzy running another publicity stunt.
Well, apparently they're tracking a massive object, Walter, moving through space with an enormous gravitational pull.
Oh, so the complete opposite of our front row.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it, Ralpho? To think, the Milky Way is home to hundreds and hundreds of billions of billions of billions of stars.
Yes, Sammy. It's just a shame none of them are our marquee signings.
I'll tell thee what, Ralpho. There's a lot of probing going on here.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
No, Ralpho. It's all perfectly scientific. They're trying to understand what happened in the very first fraction of a second after the Big Bang, and whether dark matter really exists.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. Never mind the dark matter, Samuel. Can anybody explain the invisible force field that stops the ball reaching Matty Ashton on the wing?
Oh, if only the telescope, Ralpho, could have looked into the future and have spotted the warning signs before our season had even started.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
One of the astronomers has told me, Ralpho, a supernova starts life full of energy, fuel and unimaginable power. Then one day it simply cannot support itself any longer and it collapses in spectacular fashion.
Oh, well, that sounds exactly like your coaching career. Anyway, not to worry, Samuel. I'm sure they'll discover a clangor on Mars in the not-too-distant future. Which is quite ironic, really, as there's more chance of the Soup Dragons playing at Old Trafford than Wire any time soon.
Sankey gets a mention on the sitcom. Did that? It woke me up, that. It did. It really woke me up. I had to go back and play it again.
Bit of fame, eh?
Excellent visitor centres at Jodrell Bank, isn't it? Very good visitor centre. Good gift shop.
Yeah. We went with school, didn't we? But anyway, it was lovely. It was lovely music. Is it called a bed? The bed you put under it. It was lovely music this week. What was it?
Ooh, listen to it.
The Planet Suite or something.
I've got a friend who he makes jingles for films and TV shows. You know, like, because they've not got the rights for the music. So he was getting £8,000 for a jingle, for music. So he was something on Netflix, some show on Netflix last year. And he got £8,000 for about a 5-second piece of music that he'd made.
Wow.
And then I said, "Where was the music?" And he said, "Oh, it was in when they were coming into the cafe. They sat down in the cafe to talk, and you can just hear it in the background, like very, very faintly." And I saw him this week, and he's lost his job. AI's completely taken over in the film industry. So what he's been taking weeks to make, it's now AI does in seconds. So
is he busking?
He's hanging outside McDonald's picking up coins.
Homing.
Banged his head on the ridge at Costa, went there as well.
Oh, don't get me laughing.
Sorry, Sam. What's that? Dennis is gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Little Dance.
I started my career in the circus. I was the human cannonball. I used to shoot over the ringmaster's back.
I knew you were going to play Tackle Gags. This week on Tackle Gags, well, there's been no news in Rugby League this week. I've been on the road travelling around Europe. So I've got absolutely no content. However, on my recent visit to France and around the vineyards today, exploring around 30 vineyards, cycling around, I came up with a great idea. And I actually were not. Oh, stop. This is someone who's giving some wine tasting. Mm. And I said, what I need for the bite is I need some panniers. So when we go round to all these different sort of places, we can put bottles in. And I said, these could be called the six again panniers, where basically you go to each sort of vineyard, have a tasting, drop six bottles in and cycle off to the next one. So that was the only anecdote I've got for Tackle Gags. Yeah. I told you we weren't putting this in. Why have you put it in?
Obviously, Tackle Gags is coming to an end now, Dennis. I mean, you've only got, a couple more to go. So I'm just wondering what you're going to do next year.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we win the grand final, when we won't be coming back. But presuming we are, have you come up with any?
Yes, of course, Yeah. I haven't, actually. Go on.
Tackle Bait.
Well,
enticing people to rugby.
And what's the basis of it?
Well, that's all I could...
You go fishing every week.
Rugby league.
You go fishing and tackle bait.
Oh, fuck that.
No.
Oh, dear. Last time I did that with Rob, the dog pissed in the tent and then he fucked off home halfway through the fishing trip.
So that's it, is it? You done?
Yeah, I mean, unless you've got any ideas for tackle bag next year. This is what we're going to do. I'm not doing one next week because... Are we doing a podcast next week? Because I'm on the road still.
Hang on. No, we're coming. No, we're not. Not next week. We've got two more games. No. You'll be back.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there's a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the podcast returns. First up, it's Warrington's last regular Super League fixture with a home game against Toulouse this Friday night at 8 p.m. Then it's on to the playoffs when Wyatt face probably Hull Kingston Rovers at the Halliwell Jones for a place in the semi-finals. Right, we'll do the betting offline again, boys, but...
Thanks, fuck.
Yeah, you're down to £35, Dennis. What's gone wrong?
I don't know.
Leon Byrne, you keep losing your money on.
I know.
I just said Leon Byrne, not Leon Byrne.
You did.
Maybe that's what we need. A lot of.
I know you did. Yeah. Leon Byrne. I've won 36p, haven't I?
You've got £35 and 27p. No, you won nothing because you went for Warrington against Wakefield.
Yeah. So who are we playing? This is the Toulouse one, is it?
Toulouse.
This is it now. So Toulouse, yeah. Toulouse or not Toulouse, that is the question. They've finished quite strongly. And this is the question I have, and I know I tweeted it. I sent a message in the week. What's the point of the last few games now? Because, you know, most teams are going to be resting players, aren't they? And is this the time to rest players, or is this time to sort of, like, you know, start continuing that consistency, like Wigan are, who are looking very strong? So I'm of the believer that you should play your best team. And if we play our best team, then of course we've got to win it, and we should win it. So that's my thinking of to lose.
Right. Sam, I mean, are your allegiances now swaying the other way? I mean, how close is your property to Toulouse?
It's still a good 5-hour drive.
Oh, is it?
It's a drive away.
Still going for Warrington then, right?
Handy.
I think I actually do think it's interesting what team will be put out. I don't think, because of the injuries to Philbin and Thomas and the ban. Powell still banned? I think it makes it very difficult for him to rotate too much. But I think
he's got an academy team and a reserve team. He must have 26 players he can bring in if he wants to.
Yeah, but I think I think we'll probably see four or five of them play. Right. But I think he'll still have to. Out of the 17, he'll still have to play probably 11 or 12. What you'd class as first choice players.
So who would you say if you had to take players out? If you could take anyone out, are you taking your best five out and resting them? That's probably the best
thing. Ideally, I'd want to give Danny Walker a rest. Ideally.
Yeah.
That's what ideally I would.
Rest Williams?
No, I wouldn't rest Williams. He's only played four games, hasn't he? The playing will be better for him, of course.
Is it though? I don't think rugby league's better for anyone to play.
Well, yeah, it is, but he will get more and more into the rhythm. Ben Curry, I'd be looking to rest Curry.
Right. Yates, you're going to rest Yates?
Jesus Christ.
Tanganoa should do more minutes. Maybe he should start.
Ooh, okay.
But we'll see.
Interesting times. Okay, that's it. We'll be back to either look back on another underperforming season or look forward to Wyatt being just one game, away from Old Trafford. So until then, it's a pessimistic goodbye from me, a realistic so long from Sam.
All the best.
And an optimistic farewell from Dennis.
Hey, senor.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Did we mention the free tickets for Old Trafford?
I think so. I'll definitely put it in tackle bags.
I find these days it's the only way I can survive. City.